Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, which keepeth truth forever, and never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you in peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Congregation, let us continue our worship service singing from Psalter 9, the first two verses. O Jehovah, hear my words, to my thoughts attentive be. Hear my cry, my King, my God. I will make my prayer to thee. With the morning light, O Lord, thou shalt hear my voice arise, and expectant I will bring prayer as morning sacrifice. 1 and 2 of Psalter 9. Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the prophet Daniel, thereof the sixth chapter. But first we will read from Lord's Day 45 concerning prayer. Why is prayer necessary for Christians? Answer, because it is the chief part of thankfulness which God requires of us, and also because God will give his grace and Holy Spirit to those only who with sincere desires continually ask them of him and are thankful for them. What are the requisites of that prayer which is acceptable to God and which he will hear? Answer, first, that we from the heart pray to the one true God only, who hath manifest himself in his word, for all things he hath commanded us to ask of him. Secondly, that we rightly and thoroughly know our need and misery, that so we may deeply humble ourselves in the presence of his divine majesty. Thirdly, that we be fully persuaded that he, notwithstanding that we are unworthy of it, will, for the sake of Christ our Lord, certainly hear our prayer, as he hath promised us in his word. Question 118, what hath God commanded us to ask of him? Answer, all things necessary for soul and body, which Christ our Lord has comprised in that prayer he himself has taught us. What are the words of that prayer? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. We mentioned Daniel chapter 6. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Then answered they and said before the king that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition three times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, Know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king establisheth may be changed. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. And now the king spake and said unto Daniel, Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, I have done no hurt. Then was the king exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions had the mastery of them, and brake all their bones in pieces, or ever they came at the bottom of the den. Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, Peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Thus far the reading of God's word.
Congregation, let us ask the Lord for his blessing and presence. Let us pray together. Almighty, eternal, Creator of the heavens and of the earth, thou who hast created all things and upholds all things, in thee we live and move and have our being, and without thee we can do nothing. We cannot take one breath. We are completely dependent upon thee. And Lord, in thy mercy and goodness and long-suffering patience, we may be together today as we have set aside a day for prayer to come into thy house, to hear thy word, but also to open our sinful lips unto thee, to seek thy face, to lay before thee all our cares and needs, and may it also be to truly come before thee, bowing in humility and looking unto thee and in faith, Lord. Lord, wilt thou teach us to pray? The disciples heard that precious prayer that we also heard read unto us, and they asked thee that thou would teach them to pray. Lord, teach us. Lord, we confess by nature we are prayerless, sinless creatures. No need for Thee, no hunger for Thee, no looking unto Thee, no desire to seek Thy face, no longing for sweet communion with Thee. But Lord, Thou knowest by Thy grace there is also a people among us that have been taught to pray, who have begun to pray like the publican, to pray like a beggar, no rights, and yet looking to Thee, longing, desiring, seeking Thy face, crying and sighing and calling unto Thee. Lord, remember us all then in Thy mercy. And at this time, as we begin this season, when we may also, the Lord willing, also when the seed may be sown, Lord, bless it, that there may be fruit, that there may be food to eat. Thou art the God who controls all things in creation. And Thou art that faithful one who said that unto the end of the world there will be seed time and harvest. O Lord, we come before Thee and we must confess we are unworthy of these blessings for our body. And Lord, may we then, when we look in creation, may it bring us worshiping Thee, feeling so insignificant, and that we may be humbled because we are sinful, are worthy of nothing. But Lord, also Thy word, we pray, may be yet be sown on Thy day in the house visitations, in catechism, in confession of faith class, in the Bible studies, in our homes, at school. Lord, we beg and pray Thee, bless the seed of Thy word, and that there may be fruit, those fruits that Thou wilt work in the hearts of sinners, repentance and faith. Lord, do it for Thy name's sake, and may there be an abundance of fruits, Lord, some 30, 60, but may there also be 100-fold. Lord, that Thy dear children may increase in the knowledge and of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, but also that they, by Thy grace, by Thy Spirit, may produce more fruits, that they may be a light in this dark world, that Thy name may be glorified. Oh, give that Thy people may be like Daniel, who was such a light in such a dark country. And Lord, it was only by Thy grace and by Thy Spirit, and Thou art the same God. Oh, we beg Thee, Lord, then work among us. Give more hatred for sin, more love, hunger, and thirst after righteousness. Give that we may become a praying, a supplicating people. Oh, may prayer increase among us. May knees be bent, may hearts be broken, may mouths be opened, and that there may be those beggars, those sighers before Thy throne of grace, not only on Thy day, but each day like Daniel, that he could not miss to pray unto Thee, that he longed to draw nigh unto Thee before his God, to pour out his heart, to lay before Thee all the cares and the needs for his own soul and for his beloved people. O, wilt Thou then teach us to pray, and that we may be those praying interceders, not only for self, but for our families, for our children, for the whole congregation, and for this nation. Lord, work mightily by Thy word and Spirit in this nation. Have mercy on us. Take not the light of Thy precious word, the light of Thy candlestick, away from us because of all our sins and iniquities. Bring to true repentance, forsaking sin and seeking Thee. Lord, wilt Thou help then throughout the world, but especially also in Canada. Help all Thy servants who are called to proclaim Thy word, and bless it richly, Lord, that Thy kingdom may come, that many may come to know Thee, lost in self, but seeking that only precious mediator. Oh, wilt Thou give that urgency, and no rest until they may rest on that only foundation, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And Lord, it is not only prayer day, but it is also a week of self-examination. Oh, we beg Thee then for the light of Thy Spirit to testify with the heart of Thy children, that they know those marks of grace, of misery, deliverance, and gratitude, and that they may hear Thy voice inviting them, as Thou hast said, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with Thee. Oh, may all Thy dear children be brought to that table, and that Thou would feed them and nourish them and strengthen their faith in Thee for Thy glory and for their comfort. Remember all those who must come to the conclusion lost. Oh, may it be then that there is a holy unrest in their heart and soul, that they cannot continue on anymore, but that they may beg Thee and plead with Thee, that they may open Thy word and search the Scriptures, and that Thou would teach them. Work mightily and irresistibly with Thy Holy Spirit, Lord, and convict of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, and testify and glorify and reveal that precious Savior through the word unto the hearts of sinners. Give faith, faith to look away from self, and to look unto Him. Lord, draw. Do above all that we can think and ask, Lord, Thou could righteously pass us by. Because of all our sins, because of all our iniquities, we sin against all Thy commandments. May prayer day be a day of confession of all our sin and iniquity. But oh, may prayer day also be a day that we search the Scriptures, that testify of Him who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Lord, that Thy day may be a blessing unto us in this coming Lord's day. Lord, give all that is needed. Look upon us in mercy. May we lay before Thee also today all those who are mourning, widows, widowers, those who have lost a child, a sibling, a friend. Lord, give that comfort, sanctify these callings to our never-dying soul. Remember the sick and afflicted with all the cares and the needs of the body and the mind. We think of Mrs. Stubby in palliative care in Bethany Care Home. Lord, remember her. But we ask Thee also to remember Mr. Jeff Valdesgraf. Care for him, Lord. Remember him for body and for soul. And Lord, may we hear Thy voice speaking through death, through sickness, and through Thy word that Thou art speaking. Prepare to meet God. Oh, we beg Thee, Lord, that Thou would prepare us for that moment that we must leave this life and stand before Thee. Oh, teach us those necessary lessons that Thou hast taught and will teach all Thy dear people, that they are sin, that Thou art holy and just, but also merciful and gracious through Thy dear Son. O Lord, we beg Thee then, give us a good prayer day together in Thy house, and visit us, pour out those blessings from above. Help, Lord, to preach. Give the unction of the Holy Spirit. Give much prayer. Cast out that evil one, that one who's a roaring lion, who likes to disturb, assault, and to whisper all kinds of lies. Oh, may he be cast out. Give ears to hear Thy word. Help, Lord, to preach and to keep it simple, especially for the children this morning, that they may hear and understand, but more, Lord, that Thou would bring it into their hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we deserve nothing. Thou could pass us by. But, oh, we beg Thee, look upon us, hear us, answer us. Oh, may there be that heavenly High Priest also interceding for us. Lord, we have nothing to plead upon, but, oh, may we be given to plead upon Him, upon His merits, upon His righteousness, upon His blood. Lord, come then, rend the heavens, and give a blessed day, that sinners may become sinners, that lost sinners may become those ones that find a little rest, a little comfort, a little peace in their soul through Him, through Thy dear Son, whom Thou hast sent into this world to seek and to save sinners. Lord, we ask this all in that precious name, in the name of Thy dear Son, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Congregation, let us continue this morning's worship service with singing from Psalter 60, and we will sing all five stanzas. To Thee I lift my soul, and Thee my trust repose. My God, O put me not to shame before triumphant foes. Psalter 60, all five stanzas. The first collection is for the church, and the second collection for the school target fund. May the Lord bless you and your gifts.
Thank you.
Dear congregation, prayer is a beautiful gift of God. And God renews sinners, they begin to pray. And he gives their spirit unto them to help them to pray. And we read, as Paul wrote, groanings in them. The Almighty God that we have left in paradise, never to return, that we have offended his highest majesty, invites sinners to pray unto him. We read this, for example, in Psalm 81, verse 10. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. But the Lord doesn't only invite sinners to pray unto them. He also has a promise. Listen to what we read, for example, in Psalm 34, verse 15. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. Congregation, adults, children, do you pray? Children, do you pray? What do we read about Saul? How do we know he has new life? We read, behold, he prayeth. We enter into this world prayerless. And by nature, we will leave this world prayerless. Yes, at times we may pray, we do it, but do we really pray? Do we really pray with a need in our hearts? By God's grace, as I said, sinners are born again and they begin to pray. They must pray. Because they have to? No, because they must. Because of their heart, out of their soul, they desire, they long to pray. They long to pour out their hearts unto God. Prayer for a Christian is vital. It's just chief part of thankfulness, as we heard from the Heidelberg Catechism. By prayer, those poor sheep, lambs, the children of God, they come into the presence of God through that mediator. And they may approach unto that holy, almighty God only through that mediator, but they may approach unto him whom they have begun to love. And they long to speak to pour out their hearts. How precious prayer is when the Lord gives opening. Opening. Because there are times you pray, but it feels it only bounces off the ceiling. But when the Lord gives opening, and you can just pour out your heart before the Lord, how precious. Congregation, do you pray? Children, do you pray? Do you bow your knees? Do you pray unto God? Are you thankful that we have a prayer day? Prayer is awe-inspiring. What is it? Let's think about that just for a moment. What is prayer? An almighty, holy, majestic God in heaven, where the seraphims are about his throne and have those wings that cover their feet and cover their faces, and they fly about his throne and cry, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And sinners on this little planet Earth are invited to open their mouth wide unto him, and he has his ear open to hear. We may open our sinful lips, and we may approach unto him in prayer. What a thought! Who can pray? Do you understand what the disciples said? Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. Prayer is drawing nigh to God. We read this in Psalm 73, verse 28. But it is good for me to draw near to God. And God promises to those who draw near unto him in prayer, he will draw nigh unto them. James 4, verse 8. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. And now, children, do you know a man who longed to draw nigh to God, to pray to God, even that if he prayed, he would be cast into the den of lions? Who is this man? You know, Daniel. Well, with the help of the Lord, we will consider the context of Daniel 6. And at this time, we will read for our verse, Daniel 6, verse 10. Daniel 6, verse 10. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed, and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. So far from God's word. So with the Lord's help, we would like to consider the following theme and 3 points. Daniel draws nigh to God. So Daniel draws nigh to God. First, a hostile decree. We read that in verse 7. There's a law made. He may not pray to God. He may not draw nigh unto God. So a hostile decree. Second, a holy devotion. That's what we see in verse 10. A holy devotion. Daniel drawing nigh to God. And then the last thought, a heavenly deliverance. And we read that in verse 22 and also, for example, in 27. God delivers him. And Daniel, he had a prayer day like he never, ever experienced in his whole life. Listen, how? Why? And so with the Lord's help, Daniel draws nigh to God. A hostile decree, a holy devotion, and a heavenly deliverance. And so our first thought, a hostile decree. Children, what's the theme? What is the theme? The theme is Daniel draws nigh to God. That means Daniel prays. And our first thought is a hostile decree. That means there's a law. A law against Daniel, a mean, horrible law that he may not pray. No one may pray. So what is that law? What's that hostile decree? Well, we read that in verse 7. In verse 7, and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the lion's den. So no one may pray. No one may bend their knees and draw nigh unto God. That was forbidden. They only may ask the king for anything. No one else. No other man. And not unto God. Or what would happen to them, children? They would be cast into the den of lions. So who made this wicked law? Who made this hostile decree? And why? Why did this come to pass? Well, we have to look a little history to understand this. So the king of Babylon at that time, Darius, he has organized his whole nation into 120 provinces. And over these 120 provinces, he set princes, government officials. So there was 120 government officials in these 120 provinces. And then he also set above these 120 government officials 3 presidents. And you know the name of one of them. It's Daniel. He was already a president, as we read in the previous chapter, in verse 20, at the end of the first chapter 5, verse 29. And now we read in this chapter that Darius, in verse 3, that he thought, and it must have been known, that he was going to put Daniel over these presidents. So you have the king, and then Daniel would be second, and then the presidents, and then the 120 governors. So Daniel would be second to the king. Why did Darius want to do this? Why did he want Daniel to be second in command? He watched Daniel. He saw Daniel. He saw that there was something very special in Daniel. What do we read in verse 3? An excellent spirit was in him. Daniel had wisdom. Daniel behaved every day in a very right way. Daniel was a light in this dark kingdom. As we know the history of Daniel, he was a bright light in that dark culture of wickedness. But why, especially children, why was Daniel so special? What was special about him? Well, we read he had an excellent spirit was in him. But it wasn't only a spirit about wisdom. He had something very special. And that's what you also need to ask on prayer day. He had a new spirit. He had a new heart. He had God's grace in him. He was a child of God, Daniel. So why were these other men so unhappy? Because they were not happy at all. They weren't happy at all that Darius would make Daniel the second in command and that he would become vice president over Babylon. They didn't want this at all. So what did they do every day? They watched Daniel. They watched how he lived. They listened to how he talked every day. They wanted to find something, just one little thing, that they could accuse him. That they could accuse him before the king that he wouldn't become vice president. That he wouldn't become over him. That this Jew wouldn't come over them. That they'd be ruled by this Jew. Yes, anti-Semitism is not something new. It's through the whole Bible already. They had hatred for Daniel. Hated him. He was a Jew. They didn't want this man to rule over them. So they watched him. Maybe they also looked at the books. Daniel had much responsibility. Maybe they went and looked at his books to try to find some error. Did he maybe cheat here? Did he maybe have some fraud? Did he do some wickedness? Did he take some money from himself? And they watched him day by day, all day long. All those men were filled with such jealousy, such hatred, such wickedness. But did they find something? They didn't find anything. Nothing at all. They couldn't find anything. We read in verse 4. Then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could not find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. They couldn't find anything. Was Daniel sinless? No, because we read in his prayer. We hope to read a little piece of one of his prayers later. He wasn't sinless. Who's only sinless, children, congregation? Who's the only sinless man? And Pilate has also testified, I can find no fault in him. There's only one, and that is the precious Lord Jesus Christ. But Daniel, he even confessed his own sin, but in his outward walk, he walked in godliness. Godliness. They couldn't find any fault with this man. He didn't cheat, children. He didn't lie, children. He didn't steal. He didn't slander. He didn't gossip. He didn't speak about the king behind his back. No, Daniel walked every day. They could find no fault in what he did and what he said. What a testimony. What a witness. What a light. No, not for Daniel, for the glory of God, the God of Daniel. We could say it this way. Daniel didn't just go to church on Sunday and the rest of the week just live. No. His life was a life of drawing nigh to God every single day. Adults, can that be said of you? Can that be said of you in business? They know you go to church, but they do business with you and they say, is that really a Christian? Is that a testimony? Think about it. Everything we do and say, and it's for myself also, because I'm included. We are a witness. A witness. Children, can this be said of you? Can this be said of you? Your parents watch you. They see what you do. Your teachers, your classmates. There's a testimony. Can this be said of you? I can find no fault. Can it be said, this child, this boy, this girl, he must be special because I see something. He has the Spirit of God. He's born again. She's born again. What a blessing that would be. And so these enemies of Daniel, they became very frustrated. What did they do? Did they give up and said, well, he's going to become over us? That's fine. No, that hatred, that envy, that jealousy, that rottenness and that evil wickedness in the heart will have no peace until it destroys the enemy. And that's in our hearts also. If we have envy, if we have hatred for someone else, we need to cut it off. We need to kill it. It's wickedness. It's sin. And these enemies will not be satisfied until Daniel is destroyed. And now we read in verse 5, then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. We can't find anything. But now if we touch the core of his life, now if we touch Daniel's spiritual life, his real pulse, his real desire, his real life, we can find something there. We can find something, make some kind of a law that this Daniel will not be able to obey and that we can put him to death. We can find something and make a law of how he worships, how he draws nigh to God. And so they make a plan, as we read in verses 6 through 9. They make a plan. They go to the king and they speak to him. They honor him. They flatter him. And they speak about a plan and a decree that's made in that time, that once it's made, it absolutely cannot be changed. It's irreversible. And he says, yes. And then they lay before him a petition to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. You see, the king, he listens. Pride. What a nice plan. And he signs it. And it's law. It's law. A hostile decree. A wicked law. 30 days. No one in that whole kingdom can draw nigh to God. Can pray. Can pray at all. What a wickedness. No pouring out your heart to the Almighty God. No asking. No supplicating. No praying. No drawing nigh to God. Congregation, imagine if Canada, the Prime Minister, Mark Carney, would make a law, no more prayer days. I don't want to see you gathering on any more prayer days, or don't come to church on Sunday to worship. How would you feel? Would you just say, wow, that's okay? Or would it bother your heart? Imagine this law, Daniel reading this, hearing this law, how it must have touched his very core of his being. Not allowed to draw nigh to God? Impossible. Children, imagine. If there was a law, you couldn't pray no more. You couldn't fold your hands. You couldn't bow your knees. And you couldn't beg the Lord for everything you need. For your soul, for your body, for your family, and all those needs and all those cares. Or to bow your knees and to give thanks that he was so good to such an unworthy sinner as you are. No more praying. No more opening your mouth. Or you'll go to jail, or you're going to be cast into a den of lions. Would you pray? Sometimes we go to a restaurant, right? You go to a restaurant. Do you pray? Or do you feel a little, who's here? Even for that, sometimes we hesitate. But here, this man, he's told, this man of God, if you draw nigh to God, you're going to be cast into the den of lions. There came a hostile decree against the very heart of this dear child of God that loved to draw nigh to God, or he would be thrown into the den of lions. Children, when you go to the zoo, a lion's in a cage. Why? Because he will naturally eat you. He will eat you. He will destroy you. So Daniel, he comes to this place in his life, a law against his very heart of drawing nigh to God. What will he do? What would you do? Our second thought. Daniel draws nigh to God, a holy devotion. Daniel hears, or he reads of this law. He knew it, because we read, now when Daniel knew it, what did Daniel do? Did he draw nigh to God and knowing he'd be cast into the den of lions, or did he not pray? Not draw nigh to God, because then he could be spared from going to the lion's den. Let's read Psalm 73, verse 28. But it was good for me to draw near to God. And that promise from James 4, verse 8, draw nigh to God, and he shall draw nigh to you. This was Daniel's life. This was his experience. He knew this. He knew it. He had times of sweet communion with the Lord.
His life was drawing nigh to God, to pour out all his heart, to make confessions and supplications, to praise that Almighty God who is so worthy to be worshipped. And he thanked the Lord, we read. Let's read verse 10 again. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. So what did Daniel not do? Daniel didn't go to a street corner and say, I don't care about this law, and publicly, like a Pharisee, pray. No, he didn't do that. He didn't purposely antagonize his enemies. Why? Because that's not his life. That's not his heart. He doesn't want to be seen by men. No, he didn't. He went into his house. He went before his God. He had whole devotion to God. He didn't need to be seen by men. But did he? He didn't go on the street corner. What else did he do? He didn't go look at the lions. He didn't go and consider those lions. He didn't go there. He didn't go to those men to have a discussion. Can we change this law? He didn't do that either. He knew it was signed. He didn't do that. He knew it was firm. What else did he not do? He didn't wait for 30 days. He didn't wait for 30 days. Well, in 30 days, then I can draw nigh to God again. Then I can pour out my heart. He couldn't wait. Do you understand that? He couldn't wait. He couldn't. His heart was holy devotion to God. His heart ached to pour out his heart to God. Do you know that? Do you long to draw nigh to God? No, I'm not asking if you can pray. Who can pray? But can you stammer? Do you long to draw nigh to him? Pour out your heart to God? He didn't change his normal daily routine. He didn't. He didn't at all. What did Daniel do? What do we see in verse 10? We see him walking home. Maybe he had just read that law. Or maybe he was just told, you hear the new law? You may not pray. He's walking home. He goes into his house. He goes to his room. He goes to his prayer chamber. Those walls had hurt him so many times already. And he opens the windows towards Jerusalem. And he gets on his knees. He bowed his knees. Children, you see him there? And he prays. Maybe he folded his hands and he made supplications and gave thanks before his God. Maybe there was a little voice whispering, another lion. No, not those animals, children, but Satan, that roaring lion. Daniel, you're going to go to the lions. Daniel, you're going to die. Daniel, keep your windows closed. Daniel, don't pray out loud. Daniel, just stand in the corner. This time, just hide. Don't let him see it. But he couldn't. He did, as we read, as he did aforetime. He did exactly what was his favorite thing to do, to draw nigh to God. He didn't change. Why? Why didn't he just go into the corner of the house so nobody could see? Why didn't he just keep those windows closed? Why, children? Why? Because he knew God saw him. He knew God, his God, that he loved, would see his heart. He would see all the changes. He would know why. And he couldn't. He couldn't change what he longed to do because he didn't want to grieve his good master. He just wanted to draw nigh to him again. He just wanted to pour out his heart again. Do you have a place you just long to be? Somewhere to pray? Pray? Is there a room? Is there a place that can testify that you pray, children, boys and girls, older ones, adults? He did not keep his windows closed. No, he didn't. He prayed. And what do we see? Upon his knees. He went upon his knees. And there's different postures in prayer. It's true. We read in the Bible. But this man went on his knees. What does that speak about? Humility. Bowing before the holy, almighty God. Humility. Do you ever have a place and a time you just want to go on your knees? Maybe pray. And then you just want to go on your knees. Why? Because you just want to bow. You want to bow before that holy, almighty God and bow in the dust. Such a sinner. And yet, I just want to pour out my heart. I just want to speak to him. This Daniel in his house. He couldn't do anything different. that hostile degree. But his holy devotion, he had to pray. He had to pour his heart. He longed for sweet communion. He longed that God would draw nigh to him. That's why he longed to draw nigh unto him, to have a little taste of sweet communion. And the lions can roar, but he couldn't close his mouth. He couldn't do it. Toward Jerusalem. Why? Why towards Jerusalem? Have you ever seen? I was in Costco a while ago. In the middle of the time, all of a sudden a man, he went to a corner and he pulled out his rug and he put it exactly a certain angle and he got on his knees and he prayed. But here we see Daniel. Open your Bible, 2 Chronicles 6. Why did he open the windows to Jerusalem? Why was he facing Jerusalem? Daniel was looking. We see his devoted heart by his posture. 2 Chronicles chapter 6. Verse 38 and 39. 2 Chronicles 6, 38 and 39. If they return to thee with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their captivity, whither they have carried them captives, and pray toward their land, which thou gavest unto their fathers, and toward the city which thou hast chosen, and toward the house which I have built for thy name, then hear thou from heavens, even from thy dwelling place, their prayer and their supplications, and maintain their cause, and forgive thy people which have sinned against thee. Daniel knew this. What was it all speaking about? It was speaking about his heart of devotion, of looking, of longing to that God of Jerusalem, that God that's present was in that special place in the temple. And there is an altar of forgiveness. Daniel, you see his heart. Not only be how he did it with his body, with folding or bending his knees, but how he faced to Jerusalem, to that almighty God. He had one focus. His heart was devoted to the almighty God. And he longed also for forgiveness of sins. And we read in that text in verse 10, before his God. Do you read that? Before his God. It doesn't say before the God. It says before his God. You see, Daniel, a devoted heart, drawing nigh to God, drawing nigh to his God, to his Savior, to his hope, to his life, to his complete life, because everything was in him and in him alone. No, Daniel didn't listen to the law of man. His heart was devoted to the almighty God of heaven and earth. And he had to draw nigh to God. He didn't obey the king. He didn't obey that law. No, the life in his heart, in his soul, of longing to draw nigh, couldn't keep him from going on his knees and praying and supplicating and pouring out, looking to him, looking to that almighty God, hoping in him, pouring out his heart unto him, longing for forgiveness. Is that your heart? Is that your life? Do you know something of it in this week? Children, when must we not obey authority? We must obey authority, right? The government, parents, teachers, those are, we must. When must we not obey them? When they tell us to do something against God's word, or they tell us to do something which God commands us not to do. Remember the apostles? After the Lord Jesus had ascended, they went and preached in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the leaders at that time caught him, and I say simply my own words. They said, you may not preach in that name anymore, and they put him in prison. And then God wonderfully delivered them. And what did they do? What were they told to do? Go and preach in that name. Go and preach in that precious name. Go and preach in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then again, they come before these leaders. And they have a question. Did we not command you that you should not teach in his name? What was their answer? And here's the heart of devotion. We ought to obey God rather than men. There's the heart of devotion, obeying God. No, not because you have to, but obeying God because you want to. That motive, that longing to draw nigh to God. He says, open thy mouth wide. And they try, they stammer, and they pour out. They open their mouth, sometimes wider, sometimes less, cries and sighs. And he says, seek ye my face. And they respond with their hearts. No, not with their mind, with their heart. Thy face, Lord, will I seek. Obeying God. Draw nigh to God. Pouring your heart to God. Seeking him. Oh, that can be such a sweet place. There's no sweeter place in the world than when you are given opening just to pour it all out. And to feel the Lord's presence. To have a little sweet communion. Draw nigh to him and him draw nigh to thee. Through that Son, the precious Son. Oh, it is good that I may still to God draw nigh as oft before. The Lord Jehovah blessed, my refuge and my rest shall be in praise confessed forevermore. Have you ever been able to sing this? Having a prayer day? No, not necessarily on prayer, but a prayer day. And so we see Daniel, this man of God, with this hostile decree, this law against him. But his heart of holy devotion drawn nigh to God pouring out. We see by his actions, we see his heart. Now I'd like to just read two verses. Not the prayer that we believe Daniel prayed at this time, but an example of his prayer. Let's listen to a prayer. Open your Bible to Daniel 9, and we'll just read verse 18 and 19. It's a piece. And maybe at home you can read the whole prayer. A little piece of this man of God, of his prayer. Daniel 9, verse 18 and 19. O my God, incline thine ear and hear. Open thine eyes, and behold our desolations, and the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousnesses, but for thy great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake, O my God, for thy city and thy people which are called by thy name. We hear a heart devoted, supplicating before God. Children, do you pray? Do you pray? I hope you do. Hope you become prayers. Hope you bend your knees, fold your hands. But do you pray also with a longing, with a hope, confessing sin and a longing? Like Daniel, adults, is this your life? Is this your picture? And it becomes such a wonder, that in prayer you may feel his presence. That becomes so amazing. That becomes so sweet. And children, you know a little boy? A little boy? Samuel, what did he say? He said, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. It's Daniel, or Samuel, a little boy, longing to hear the word of God. Daniel couldn't wait 30 days. He couldn't even wait a few hours. How often did Daniel pray? How often, children? Look in the Bible. How many times? Well, we read, he kneeled upon his knee 3 times a day. But now when you read it in Hebrew, you know what it says? He kneeled upon his knees 3 times that day. On that very day that he heard that law. On that day, he was prayed and kneeled 3 times on that day. And then we hear, as he did aforetime. So we hear that it was his daily godly habit to daily 3 times a day to go into that special room, to open the windows, to go on his knees and to pray. But is that all that Daniel prayed? No, his life was a life of prayer. Maybe he prayed 300 times. Maybe he prayed 1,000 times. God's people, their life is a life of prayer. They pray in the kitchen. They pray in the desk in school. They pray in the office. They pray in the tractor. They pray in the truck. They pray wherever they are. Sometimes they have to stop their truck and park on the side of the road or car. And they just need to fold their hands and pour their heart out to God because they want to speak to him. Do you have a place? Does God know that you have a place? to pour out your heart, to draw nigh to God. But then what happens while Daniel is praying? Those enemies see him. And they hear him praying, supplicating, and making his prayer unto God, as we read in verse 11. And then they gladly go to the king. They're so happy. We found something. We've got him. All that jealousy and that wickedness, we've got him. Now we can put him to death. That horrible, wicked Jew. We want to kill him. They hated him. And they go to the king. And they don't exactly immediately say, Daniel. No, they're smart. They're crafty. They speak to him. Remember, king? Remember the law? Remember the law that you can't change? And he says, that's true. And now they tell him, Daniel. Daniel. We saw him. We heard him. He was supplicating. He was making a petition, not to you, O king, but to his God. And then we read verse 14. Now the king was greatly displeased with himself. His heart smote him. Pride, that rottenness. I should have been more alert. But pride closes the eyes for everything else. And now he sees it. Daniel? Daniel needs to put to death? That Daniel, that man that I so greatly respect, he's going to be put to death? And then we read in this history that he tried in different ways. He strived to deliver Daniel. Maybe he looked back in the books. Maybe there is some clause way back in the Constitution. Somewhere that I can deliver this man. But he couldn't find anything. He couldn't. It becomes late. And then what happened? The palace doors open to the king. And these men come in. It says assembled. You know what it means? They thronged him. These men thronged and they came with fury, with haste. King, it's too late. He must be put to death. You see the heart of envy, jealousy, wickedness against a dear child of God. A man who only wanted to live and to serve the Almighty God. A man who only wanted to draw nigh to God. But put him to death. And then Darius gives the command. He says, Daniel needs to be brought and cast him into the den of lions. And he said something. Look in your Bible, verse 16. He said something, a confession. Thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. What did this mean? Well, a few thoughts. Darius does not accuse Daniel. That's the first thing. He doesn't accuse him. Daniel, you know what he said, children? Daniel, I know you didn't do anything wrong by praying. You didn't do anything wrong. So he doesn't accuse him. What else does Darius do? Darius couldn't free him. He couldn't. He tried. He couldn't. But he gives him over into the God of Daniel. That's what he did. And he makes a confession of faith. Saving? God knows. We'll speak about it a little later. Was it? He makes a confession. He leaves him in God's hand. That God that delivered Daniel's friends from the fiery furnace, he believes that that same God that Daniel serves has the power as he delivered those three men out of that fiery furnace. Remember, children? No smoke, nothing. Their hair wasn't even singed. That mighty God did such a miracle. And he believes, impressed in his heart, that that same God could deliver Daniel. And Daniel is thrown in. A big stone is rolled in front, sealed. No one can open it except the king. Children, what's going to happen? Daniel had a law. You may not pray, but Daniel had to pray. Nobody told him to. He just had to. He had to have a prayer day. He couldn't stop him. He just wanted to draw nigh to God. And now, his enemies with a law, he's cast into a den of lions. I wouldn't want to even go near a lion, but he's in a den of lions. What will happen, children? You know, what's going to happen? Is Satan going to be victorious? Are these enemies going to be victorious? Maybe they went home. Finally, he's gone. Done. He's not going to watch over us anymore. The Jew's gone. He's going to be gone. Will God deliver Daniel? Let's sing first. Psalter 339, all four stanzas.
O Lord, my earnest cry and listening ear has heard. With thy salvation answer me, and I will keep thy word. And I will keep thy word. Psalter 339, 1 through 4. Daniel draws nigh to God. Daniel has a prayer day, children. And then we know that law that he wasn't allowed to. And we know he did because he had to. He had to pour his heart to God. And then Daniel was thrown into the den of lions. It's nighttime. It becomes dark. The enemies went home. We don't read about them. What did they do? Maybe they just went in their bed and went to sleep. Resting. Enemy is gone. Did they think about their sin? Did they think about their wickedness? We don't know. We don't read about that. But what did the king Darius do? We read in verse 18. 6 verse 18. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. So what did Darius do? He fasted. Well, now we think about the Bible. Fasting. That's good. Was it really that? I don't know. I doubt it. Why? Listen. First, he just didn't want to eat anymore. He was grieving. He couldn't eat. Daniel's in the lion's den. He couldn't sleep. He couldn't eat.
He couldn't find comfort in just having the dainties that he ate before. And no music. He just wanted to hear music. No music could comfort this man, this king. He could not sleep. But what do we not read? So we read what he did, but what do we read he did not do? We do not read that he prayed and fasted. This king, he had impressions. And his servant Daniel draw nigh to God that was life. This king had impressions, but we don't read that this king drew nigh to God. We don't read that he poured out his heart and said, Lord, I've been a fool. My pride, I signed the law to put to death one of thy servants. We don't read of him praying and of confessing. Not at all. But children, what happened? What happened in the den? Did the lions eat Daniel? Did they? Did Daniel die? You know the history. No, he didn't. He didn't die. He was among lions. How many were there? I don't know. It doesn't matter. But you see, this man, this child of God, this man with a heart longing to draw nigh to God and living in holy devotion, sitting, standing between the lions just around him. What a picture. Wild lions that would tear him to pieces in a second and eat him. Let's read verse 20. We read that King Darius, he got up early and he went to the den. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? He went with haste. He ran as early as he could, as early as the law would permit him. And he went to that cave, to that den. He spoke. Imagine that king listening, waiting. Will he hear something? Did he hear something, children? Yes. He heard Daniel. He heard his voice. Daniel was alive. Let's read now verse 21 and 22. Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him, is God, innocent we've found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Daniel spoke. Darius heard it. Daniel's alive. Alive. A night with the lions. And alive. He was spared. Who spared him, children? God did. That almighty God that deeply cares for his dear children. And then maybe you say, but I've heard stories of martyrs that lions ate them. How do we answer this? Is it the same God? Yes. It was in God's will that Daniel would not die for his glory. And the others, it was for his glory that they would die. God is free. All it is about the glory of God. Daniel was spared. God shut the mouths of the lions. But there's much more. That's not all. There's much more. What? Let's read two verses again. I have read already. Psalm 73, verse 28. But it is good for me to draw near to God. James 4, verse 8. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. This is what Daniel experienced in that night. He drew nigh to God, and God drew nigh to him in a real way. How? Through an angel, through a servant of the Almighty God. Daniel in the den of lions. Maybe they were just laying there, mouths closed, looking at him maybe. They didn't touch him, but he had a presence. Daniel had the best prayer day ever in his entire life that he ever, ever experienced. Why? Because God drew nigh. God was present in that den. And you could be among lions, and maybe that's how you feel this week in preparation. Lions roaring, whispering, attacking. But oh, then to draw nigh to God, and to pour out all your heart to him, and that he draws nigh to thee. And he comforts and he speaks. To have a blessed prayer day with sweet communion. We read an angel an angel. God visited Daniel through a servant, through an angel. And now there's much discussion. Who was the angel? Some say it was an angel, a servant of God. Others say it was the angel, the pre-incarnate Lord Jesus Christ. And we leave that open. But one thing is most certain, that God visited Daniel. Daniel had the best day of his whole life, we may believe. Among the lions. Silent. They can't touch him. And God drew near. Sweet communion. What a blessing. What a blessed prayer day. To be able to pour out your heart. Against all the voices. All the attacks. All the whispering. All the different assaults. And just to be able to pour it out. And he draws nigh. Oh, what a blessed prayer day. And Church of God, then may you on this coming Lord's Day, through this week, may you be drawing nigh to him. And that on his day, that you may be drawn to that table, and that he may draw nigh to you, oh, then you'll have such a blessed day. Such a blessed day. Without it, don't be satisfied. But to have sweet communion with the Almighty God. That's life. That's everything. Everything. Daniel believed in God. It was his faith in the Almighty God. As we read in Daniel 6 verse 23. And we read in the heroes of faith in Hebrews 11 verse 33. Stop the mouths of lions. Daniel looked above all the enemies. And he looked to God. His faith was in his God. That Almighty God. And oh, then Darius was so excited. So happy. He said, take him out. And he was lifted out of that pit, delivered. And then what happened to the enemies, children? All those enemies were cast in. And then what did the lions do? They ate him. All the enemies destroyed. And then Darius made a decree, a new decree, that all should fear and tremble before that very God that he said, you may not ask anything. So through it all, what's the outcome? God was glorified. God was glorified. And so we see we ought to obey God rather than men. For what? That the way that God may give that comfort, but especially that he would be glorified. Him. A few conclusion thoughts. And there's many. There's so many. But I can only share a few. Maybe at home you can talk about it more. What were some other lessons that we didn't hear? Fathers, your responsibility. You have a whole prayer day to do that. One. Darius had impressions. It's not enough. Not enough. He had an impression. How do we know fear that he didn't have the fear of God from this part? How do we know? Because we don't read of any prayer. What's the real heart life? Prayer. How do we know a baby's living? When it's born, it cries. It's a sweet sound. How do we know there's life? They begin to cry. They begin to pray. They begin to sigh before the Lord. They long to draw nigh to God. Is that your life? Is that your life? Robert Murray McShane said, what man is alone before God on his knees is who he is. And God sees you. Children, adults, he sees me. He sees. Are you ever on your knees? Or just come to church on Sunday? Or is there times you just have to go on your knees? You long to. And pour out your heart to God. To him. It's a delight. Those that are taught by God, it becomes their delight. They long for those times. They long for those places of sweet communion. Because that's life. But one other thought. This is also the illustration of the precious gospel. Daniel delivered out of the lion's den. And all the enemies put in and destroyed and devoured. I'll read two verses from Psalm 22, verse 13 and 21. Listen. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a raving and roaring lion. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns. Who's saying this? It's a prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. And around that cross, we hear as a picture, there's lions that want to devour him. No, not Daniel, but that Savior, the one who had no sin. And they wanted to devour him. And that great lion, Satan, He roared. Yes, he crushed his heel. But through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, he crushed his head. He conquered Satan. And children of God, Satan may roar. And he may assault, but he cannot really touch you. May all his roaring, all his assaults, just drive you farther and deeper to seek consolation in the wounds of the Savior. Daniel believed in God. Daniel was delivered. Why? Because of his faith. Who will be delivered from not being cast into the lion's den, Satan's place where he will be cast out? Who will not be cast out into eternal fire and wrath? Those who by God's grace are born again, who repent of their sin, and who begin to trust him, and long to draw nigh to him, and long for sweet communion. That's the heart. That's the life. And all those others, they will be cast out eternally. Eternally. And they learn in this life, the church of God, to draw nigh. But there's coming a place, a time, where he will take them. And they will forever be nigh him in that holy paradise. No more lions. Actually, yes, there will be creatures on the new heaven and new earth. And they'll be together like a little picture with Daniel in the den, a little picture of heaven, because the animals will not destroy anymore. All perfection. But there's something much precious. They will be brought nigh to him, to their Savior, forever sweet communion. That's the eternal prayer day. Amen. Almighty, eternal Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, oh, we beg thee, Lord, richly bless thy word by the power of the Holy Spirit. Convict and convince of sin, of righteousness and judgment, and reveal that precious Savior. Oh, Lord, we beg thee, for thy name's sake, for thy honor, for thy glory, that thou would give those blessings that we have read of the life of Daniel, by thy Spirit, by thy grace, for thy honor, for thy glory. Oh, we must confess our sin also as thy dear people. How we live so cold, so far from what it should be, so far from daily longing to draw nigh unto thee. Oh, Lord, have mercy, cleanse us, wash us, that may we also be convicted if we have never had a time, never prayed unto thee in truth and in spirit, never had a longing to draw nigh unto thee. Oh, may we convicted and see that it's all death, and give that life, Lord, have mercy. Keep us in this day. May we again come together tonight, and may we thank thee for this day, that we may come into thy house to listen to thy word, to listen to thy voice. Lord, to be to thee the all the honor and the glory, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us sing in closing from Psalter 203. 203, all five stanzas. In sweet communion, Lord, with thee I constantly abide. My hand thou holdest in thy own to keep me near thy side. Psalter 203, all five stanzas. Thank you.
dear congregation, receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.